I think it's fair to say that people like a story of good versus evil, the hero and the villain, one who confronts enormous odds for the sake of underlying good. People are drawn to this storyline, probably because it's a part of us, of our being, as creatures of God created for perfection, but in a broken world. We like the myths, the epics, fables, and folk tales handed down because they tug at the core of who we are. And I think it's also fair to say, even though it may be unfortunate, that our culture is quite taken with the concept of battle and war. There are those who would disagree with this statement, and I appreciate where your stance is, but culturally, look at the factual presentation of our nation. Look at our movies, look at our TV shows, even reality TV, the digital games that our kids are absorbed with, best-selling books, even our sports. Look at the language used to describe Monday night football game. It's battle language. It's the language of war. My kids are grown and gone, out of the house, but I can easily look back 15 years at some of the games I attended where what came out of some of the mothers made it clear that it was a battlefield and not a soccer field. Not all the moms, thank heavens. God bless and preserve all those gentle spirits among us. But I'm making a point here. Remember the movie The Matrix? As you recall, it was a scenario where the power of illusion and pleasure were used by a dark force to enslave all of humanity. Eventually, the hero disconnects from the illusion and begins to battle the dark force to secure his freedom and to help others to be free. Once aware, he chose to enter the battle. And as you probably remember, there was another character in the film who, even though he was aware of what was going on, he preferred the illusion of pleasure and contentment to the struggles that came with being free. And so he fought against the hero and the message of freedom. For him, reality was too hard, and slavery was easier. The reason I use this movie as an example this morning is because our nation, and all the Catholics and Christians in it included, is in a war between good and evil. The darkness has overwhelmed an entire people with the illusion of pleasure and self-contentment. Many have fallen prey to the illusion to the point of preferring not to see or engage in the reality around us. There are those who don't know it, but there are those who prefer not to know it. Look with a fresh eye at all that's going on. The integrity of family, once in God's hands, now falls under the design of a panel of judges. Children are to be raised and educated per the prescription of the state. Violence surrounds us, and yet we invite it into our homes through our TVs, our computers, and our games. We're being convinced that death is an acceptable option for the mentally despairing, the unborn, and the elderly. It's pretty clear from commercials that there's a lot more morality applied to cats and dogs in shelters than to those human beings who cannot defend themselves. Where once we relied upon God for grace, strength, and purpose in life, now it falls to the government to provide for our physical and emotional desires. We establish rights for almost everything, but remove the right to worship God or praise Him in public. Christian blood flows freely on two continents, while our national concerns include the regulation of fantasy football. And so I say again, There is a spiritual war being waged on the earth, and we are in it, every one of us. The first reading from Daniel and the gospel both prophesy about the end game of this spiritual battle. They speak of tribulation and a time unsurpassed in distress. The dead will rise and all will face judgment. And as we have heard, some will go to heaven and some will go to hell. As to when this happens, no one knows, not the hour, not even Jesus in his great humility before the Father. Even he does not know. But he gives us the lesson of the fig tree. When it sprouts out, we know that summer is near. And when the signs of the end are present, his return will be near. Regardless of when, we are assured that the day will come, and come abruptly. This being so, there is a point where spirituality must be embraced, a point where it can no longer be set aside if we are to share in the victory that Jesus has won. There is no fence setting. We are with Christ or we are against him. So, if we are to engage in a spiritual battle, how will we go about that? We're flesh and blood, right? And that we are. But never let go of the fact of the nature of our creation and being. We are created in the image of God. We are embodied spirits, and we are well equipped for the battle and war that we are in. Listen to this prayer that comes from the breviary, the Liturgy of the Hours that we pray every day. Lord, God of strength, you gave your Son victory over death. Direct your church's fight against evil in the world. Clothe us with the weapons of light and unite us under the one banner of love, that we may receive our eternal reward after the battle of earthly life. The battle of earthly life. Weapons of light. We are not defenseless. We are well equipped by our commander-in-chief and his church. So what are these weapons of light? Well, I'm glad you asked. I mentioned the Liturgy of the Hours, our breviary. It's the prayer of the church. All of us, not just the ordained, it's all of our prayer. And it's our global defense system, because it's prayed throughout the world, all day long, every place, in every time zone. The Bible. This is our operation manual and our strategy plan. It helps us to know the good guys from the bad guys. And it even comes in stealth mode. You can slide it into your pocket. Easy access. The enemy will never see it coming. Book of Catholic Prayers. This here is a box of spiritual grenades. You're out. Come on a situation. The devil's at work. You pull one of these out. Throw it into the scenario. Bang. The Holy Spirit's on him. And the good thing is, it never runs out of ammunition. The crucifix. This is a spiritual flamethrower, folks. It works in conjunction with faith. No, you know, what evil can stand before the sacrifice of the living Son of God? You know what this is? Rosary? Yeah, it's a rosary. That's one name for it. It's also a spiritual assault weapon with a 50-round clip. It's the most powerful weapon in our arsenal of light. We've got the sacraments. They're our commissary where we are fed, and they are our field hospital where we come to be healed. And we're not in this fight alone. We've got allies. Myriads of angels fighting for us. And saints as well, undefeatable souls in heaven who help us. Well, why do we have a guardian angel to call on for help? Why, at our confirmation, did we choose a saint's name to call on them for help? We are in a spiritual war against Satan and his forces. If we believe in God, if we believe that God is truth, then we have to believe that this great battle rages around us, because Jesus and his prophets and his apostles and his saints and his popes have all told us so. We are all in it. We were drafted at our baptism and armed at our confirmation, and we were put strategically in place by the Holy Spirit. And we must be about the business of Christ, bringing light to the darkness every moment of every day. The wise keep watch for the sprouting of the fig tree, because the day of Christ will come suddenly, like lightning that flashes from one end of the sky to the other. And on that day, when all strife stops, as the book of Daniel says, the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament. And those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. Be a hero in this story. Take these weapons of light and stand against the darkness.